everything. News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
8:07 on Mobile Mornings with Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5. Turning up your voice this hour, if you please, 343-0106. You can also use that same number to text us anything that is on your mind, including, of course, news of the day. And so we've been through news cycle a couple of times here this morning. I think one of the things that jumped out at me was this Mobile crime report, which was released, actually not an investigative report, but it was released by the city themselves.
Yeah, so they put these numbers out every year, and yesterday MPD they released the 2020 numbers, and you know, it looks, at least if you're a headline reader, like so many people are.
The headline looks good.
Yeah.
But the headline is certainly deceiving.
Yeah, and I would love to hear from callers out there, 343-0106, your take on crime in our city, or if you're in Baldwin County, what it's looking like over there. So let's go over some of these numbers here.
And this is in the city of Mobile.
This is just the city of Mobile, and you know, the headline that I was referring to, it says Mobile had a 12% decrease in overall crime from 2019 to 2020. So you're thinking, oh, great, that is fantastic news. But there were quite a few things that actually rose from 2019. The one that went higher than any other was motor vehicle theft. That went up by 33%. And let me break it down. 33% more vehicles were stolen, either from someone's home, property, or out in public than there were in 2019. So I was thinking, okay, so maybe it went from, I don't know, 60 vehicles stolen to 90 vehicles stolen, something like, well, that wouldn't work out percentage-wise. But
that wasn't it at all.
No, because there was actually a ton of thefts of vehicles. It went from 749 to 998 last year.
You know, Sage Park just the other night. The story about the young girl who was like on a kickball team or something like that.
Her first time, she said, at Sage Park.
First time ever at Sage Park. Last time ever at Sage Park. Can you imagine you're going to, you know, do something fun with your early 20-year-old friends, and suddenly you've got two guys with a gun to you in your car, and you're like, what in the world is going on that I can't even be safe? Just, and I, you know, Sage Park has had its issues in the past, for sure. It's a big park. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of parking. So you could find yourself in a spot where, you know, the crime could not be detected right away.
Right. And it's in an area where there are a lot of people around. Mm-hmm. So plenty of people can just be milling about.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And, you know, what was surprising about that story to me is she, in a way, fought back.
Right.
And I don't think her vehicle was actually stolen.
No.
But that doesn't change the fact that two men came up to her with a weapon, pointed it at her, and were demanding her car. So, yeah, that's up 33% motor vehicle thefts. And Police Chief Lawrence Batiste said that many of the cars that were stolen, I'd love to see a number on this. I know they can't give us an exact number, but he said that many had just been left running. So are these people that are pulling up at the grocery store or something, pulling up at a gas station, and just going to run in and grab a snack or grab something and then go back out and leave their vehicle running, and they get back outside and it's gone? Like, or are these people that are starting their vehicle in the morning for it to cool down during the middle of the day, or warm up in the morning, and someone's coming in and taking it then?
How many mornings in Mobile are that cold?
Not many.
And so what good can happen by leaving your vehicle running, by the way, or leaving the keys in there as you walk in the store? Nothing. But what gets me is, not many people leave their vehicle running, number one.
Right.
So there's not going to be that many cases of that. Number two, people are just kind of on the watch, waiting to see if somebody's vehicle is running, and just say, hey, man, I'm going to take that car.
I mean, they have to be, right?
Crazy. They would have to be.
It's insane.
Somebody around you right now is waiting to see if you're going to leave the vehicle running, if you're at a convenience store.
Right. But the most vile crimes, I think most of us would agree that the crimes that are the worst of the crimes actually rose last year alongside the theft of vehicles. They call these Part 1 crimes. That's what the FBI calls them. These are crimes that are considered serious. The homicide rate went up 15% from 2019 to 2020, 40 in 2019, up to 46 last year. Now, that 46, that's the highest number we've seen since, according to their statistics, 2017, when there were 50 homicides. Mm-hmm. And right now, we're on a pace higher than we were last year.
I like to look at those stats because I remember years where the homicide total would be in the 20s.
Yeah, even in...
I don't think that long ago.
Because these go back, these stats they have in this report, which, by the way, it's linked up on our website, they go back to 2010, and we had 25 mm-hmm. homicides in 2010, 23 back in 2015, and in 2018 there were 28.
There you go.
So far this year, there's as of last week, there had been 11 homicides, which are five more than the same time in 2020.
And we had we had 46 last year. Right?
And, you know, we talk with Mobile County Sheriff Sam Cochran. Sean talks with him every month on Midday Mobile. And we've heard Police Chief Batiste talk about it before. A lot of these homicides we're seeing are what Sean calls bad guy on bad guy crimes, gang violence in a lot of cases. But so often, the gang violence... it's these people that just go out and shoot at homes and into vehicles, and you see children
yep.
end up catching that, mothers, grandmothers, just completely innocent people
yeah.
that end up suffering or dead because of these gang wars that are going on.
Yeah, so there's a Williamson student who was in his house studying and was shot and killed.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
So homicides were up last year. Also, rape up 2.1%, aggravated assault up 6.9%. And overall, according to the police chief, violent crime increased by 1.9%. Now, some of the crimes that actually went down from 2019 to 2020, robbery down 26.7%, burglary down 27.7%, and larceny down 15.3%. Those are the only of the listed crimes I'm seeing here that had drops, and they did have major drops. And I'm thinking that has to be a major reason why those dropped is because so many more people were at home from March yeah. of 2020 on through the end of the year.
You can't break in when somebody's there.
Right. And, you know, I know a lot of businesses never closed. A lot mm-hmm. of businesses kept on churning or came back quicker than most of the rest of the nation. But you still had a number of businesses that had their employees working from home, maybe reduced the number of positions they have available. And a lot fewer vacations were taken last year. And, you know, a lot of that happens while people are out for a week or two on vacation.
Yeah, and people will post that they're on vacation, mm-hmm. giving a heads up to anybody who wants to, burglarize the home.
Yeah, so those numbers were down. And I was interested because I wasn't aware immediately the differences between robbery, burglary, and larceny. And I know a lot of you out there already know, but larceny is when property is taken without the use of force and without breaking into a place in order to or a thing to rob some or steal something from somebody. Robbery is when you take something through force or the threat of force, and then burglary just involves breaking into a structure to commit a crime.
Thanks to Alan who texts, please check Neighborhood. I've just gone to this website, Neighborhood Scout. It's an independent realtor tool to provide a true independent description of the high crime zones in Mobile.
Mm-hmm.
The crime stats are quite obvious, which is why we move as far away from Mobile City as possible. That's what Alan had to say. So he's not necessarily buying that crime is down.
And this became a bit of a discussion on Midday yesterday also. Sean took Wallet Hub to task for everything bad about Mobile. Mm-hmm. And somebody said, yeah, Mobile sucks, basically. But I feel, for the most part, safe in Mobile. There are a lot of parts in Mobile where you're fine. It's just, you know, there's certain areas where things appear to be more dangerous as of last year.
Yeah, well, I'm going to look over this website and maybe find out where they are. It's 8:15 FM Talk 106.5. FM Talk 106.5, 8:21. Dan Brandon along with Dalton Orlick, and we are on your Friday, so we're heading toward the weekend. Got a story here later on this hour about when we all really, really begin shifting from the work week to the weekend.
Oh, okay.
Ain't 5 o'clock, bro. It's not 5 o'clock.
Is it 2 p.m. Tuesday? That's when you start moving it along.
Well, if you talk to some employers, they tell you some of their workforce checks out a little bit early.
Yeah.
8:22. You see this video of the three ladies in the back of a Uber in San Francisco just being total clowns and coughing on the guy, and he was concerned about coronavirus, and, you know, the guy works in pretty close contact with people.
Yeah.
He's just saying, look, just keep the mask on. Do me a solid here. And they're doing the exact opposite. One has been arrested now, and another has turned herself in. But what makes people act that way?
Yeah, you know, I had seen that headline. I hadn't actually watched the video.
We watched it together just now, right before that news break ended, and we were disgusted by it. I get it, you know, politically, mask, no mask, whatever. I'm talking about these ladies who are acting in such a horrible way.
Mm-hmm.
No matter where you stand on the coronavirus, you would be appalled by. You can probably find the video anytime now online.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I mean, I have no problem if you don't want to wear a mask. I have no problem if you want to wear a mask or wear 50 masks. But it's the people that like that are just, you know, horrible people. They, I mean, they would probably be just as terrible people if there was no pandemic and
exactly.
No mask thing. And it's, I've seen a lot of that. People upset with others telling them to wear masks. But I've seen it the other way, too. People aren't you know the other way, where it's the people wearing the masks that are being horrible to the people that don't wear
them.
Just be nicer to each other.
No kidding.
And that'd be a lot easier.
That was really, really people not being nice. 823 at FM Talk 106.5.
You know, it's been interesting kind of watching the numbers since the pandemic began, when vaccines started to become like this is actually happening. They might actually have vaccines available here, and where we stand now with the number of people that are willing to get a vaccine, the number of people that completely refuse to get a vaccine, and the number of people that just kind of want to wait and see how things go. We did some polling on our website and on our Facebook page months ago, before vaccines even started being rolled out, and a pretty large majority of you out there said, I'm good without the vaccine. And I'm sure a lot of people were thinking, I'll wait and see how everything goes before getting it. And a lot of people are just saying, no, I don't want the vaccine at all. Actually, even before the pandemic, we had several people that just message us constantly that are anti-vaxxers in general, no matter if it's the flu vaccine or any kind of vaccine. So I expect that. But some new numbers out now, and according to this poll from Monmouth University, about 1 in 4, a.k.a. 25% of the people that they surveyed, are quote-unquote unwilling to get the vaccine. 60% have what they call largely favorable perceptions of the vaccine rollout. So I don't know if that means that 60% want to get the vaccine or not. But
well, they're definitely leaning that way, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they broke it down on another poll here, NPR, PBS, and Marist poll. I'm sure that's a lot of people's favorite poll there, the NPR PBS poll. And they found that the group most likely to not want to get the vaccine, Republican men, 49%. They say Trump supporters, 47%. Republicans, 41%. White men without a college degree, 40%. People under 45, 37%. Latinos, 37%. And it goes on and on. Generation Z, 36%.
African-Americans in that grouping?
Actually not.
Yeah,
and
I think
that
would be, because that's been one of the emphasis that we've seen, is to make sure that they're comfortable with the idea of the vaccine.
Yeah, you would think that would be included in the poll, but
it's not.
That's probably not the message that Forbes is trying to send in this particular article. They're trying to say that if you don't want the vaccine, you're probably a Republican or a Trump supporter, and you're probably a bad person because of that. It's kind of what they're passing along here.
Okay, in real life, last week at this time on Friday, I was saying to you, you know what? This is the first time that it's even crossed my mind. It's like, are we close to herd immunity? Mm-hmm. Do I need to even get a shot? It then turned out that Owen Bailey, I believe, is the CEO of USA Medical, and he listens to us every morning. He reached out to me through a friend, Danny Rickard, and he said, you know, you're available. We've got this mass vaccination that's going to happen on Saturday, and we can't throw things out. So if you want to get put on that list, we're happy to do that. It's completely legit. We might call you, we may not. And I was put on that list, and then earlier and got my first vaccination from Pfizer. Earlier this week, we had Natalie Fox, the chief nursing officer of USA, and Sarah Cahaley, director of clinical resources for USA Health Physicians Group, talk about the vaccine, talk about the rollout, how they were doing it. I guess we talked to them for about a half hour, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then Sarah Cahaley, I just hit her with the question. Do we need to get the vaccine? Do you recommend yes, no, what?
We need to do whatever we can to help make an impact on this pandemic because it's been going on for some time. And every step that medicine takes is what's going to help us get a hold and go back to the normalcy that everybody wants. And right now, the vaccine has proven safe and efficient. And this is just one of the steps to help us slow it down.
Remember, Sarah, on her second vaccination, got pretty sick, too. She had the reaction where you almost feel like you had the flu or some sort of a flu, where on the other hand, Natalie didn't have anything like that. Also, anecdotally, I think that I've been reading here recently that the bad effects with vaccination too,
mm-hmm.
more likely with women than men. So,
interesting.
We're trying to learn all kinds of stuff and put all the information together and try to draw some conclusions. We've been doing that since March of last year.
Yeah.
So still doing that, obviously, but in any event, I will get my second vaccination on the 29th of March, and that is in the middle. Well, it's Monday, so I've got to be at work on Tuesday, so just get ready. If I can be here, I will, and hopefully everything will be fine.
And I will sneak you with the third vaccine shot that next day. We'll see what happens.
Well, thanks a lot for that.
So, yeah, I've kind of...
Please take me out for ice cream, too.
You talked about how your opinion changed and then changed back, kind of, about getting the vaccine, and I'm in a similar situation.
It didn't change. I started thinking about it.
Right. So I was thinking, can't wait for this vaccine to get out there. This will be great. We'll get everything back to normal. And then I caught COVID-19, and I knew statistically I was probably not going to have much of an issue with the side effects from COVID-19, although you never know, right? Anything could happen.
Sure.
I mean, I could, even regardless of COVID-19, I could go out and get hit by a bus today. But COVID-19 could have really done damage to me for all I knew. And I got a little sick. I mean, no worse than a flu that I've had before. Mm-hmm. But I was out of commission for a couple days and then kept out of commission because of the COVID rules. And now that it's actually getting closer to time for me to make that decision, should I get the vaccine or not? And I'm taking into account my age, how I responded to the virus itself.
Mm-hmm.
First off, I don't need to get the vaccine for a while longer, even if I wanted immunity, because I just had the virus not that long ago.
Yeah, you're 29, 30 years old.
So, yeah, what about the 30-year-olds out there, 35 years old? Go up, 40, 45. Maybe you've had it. Maybe you've been fine from it. Are you willing to take that risk? I don't want to push people one way or the other, but you know how you've been affected by the actual virus. Are you worried at all about how the vaccine might affect you, or better yet, your family?
And, well, there you go. And it was a week ago today when you talked about your little daughters.
Mm-hmm.
And you said, not no, but hell no.
Hell no. I'm not giving them the vaccine. Not for years.
830 FM Talk 106.5. Turning up your voice. Give us a ring, 343-0106, or hit us up on the text line as well. Dan Brennan, Dalton Orwig, it's Mobile Mornings.
Hey, it's Friday, 836 FM Talk 106.5. Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwig. Time to head to McConnell Automotive, talk with Louis Arata. Hey, Louis.
Good morning. Good morning, guys. How are you?
Hey, we're doing great here. So what's on tap this weekend at McConnell? What kind of deals can we get?
We're going to have some deals going on. Like, the weather's going to be great. We got another fabulous weekend. Y'all can check all the deals out online at McConnellAutomotive.com. Just one little housekeeping deal. Starting next week, we're going to have the main driveway taken up. We got to do some work to it. So we're going to have two exits, one in between the used car building and Mercedes, and then the other one on the west side of the right there by the ditch. You can come in and out there. So sorry for all the inconvenience. Mm. We're just trying to get this place going and get it working.
Well, you got to get the driveway fixed because you have so many people driving in to see what you
That's
have
right.
on the lot. So,
it only makes sense.
So
we're going to be traffic control here for the next week or so, but hopefully the construction crew will get in and get out, so we'll get back to normal business as usual. But right now we got great deals. We got, you know, all those deals on the Buicks. We got new trucks in stock. Like I said, check everything out online at McConnellAutomotive.com. If you got any questions, call Gene or I at 251-476-4141. Wish everybody have a safe weekend.
All right. Thanks, Louie. Have a good one.
You too.
That's Louie Arata. Go see him at McConnell Automotive on Dolphin Street, just east of I-65. And online, McConnellAutomotive.com.
838 FM Talk 106.5. Okay, let's put you on the record here. So you... Or you're not really on the record. One way, you're just considering. Okay, I'm a young guy.
Right.
I had COVID already. When my time comes up, do I want to get the vaccination?
My on the record answer is I have no idea what I'm going to do.
Okay.
And I need to figure it out soon. Well, I've got until May 1st,
according to Joe Biden,
because then everyone will be available. I mean, as an American, as a citizen of this world, is it my duty to get the vaccine?
That's the way it's kind of being presented.
Right.
And even, you know, and I'll say this, Sarah Cahaly, they believe what they're saying.
Yeah.
You know, get the shot. Medical people are saying, go ahead and get the shot. And they're rolling up their sleeves and getting it themselves. So they believe in it.
Mm-hmm.
We understand those that are against it. Last Friday, I was kind of suddenly on the fence myself, like, because
yeah.
we go back a month ago when we had that article from the Wall Street Journal that herd immunity was coming a lot sooner than later, and look at the numbers.
Yeah, and I have seen every now and then a story where someone happens to pass away after the vaccine, and most of the time they've said it had nothing to do with the vaccine. They always say they're going to wait for an autopsy, so there's never been like a clear answer that I've seen. I know some of the texts we get, people are mm-hmm. quite certain. But everyone I know who's gotten the vaccine are completely fine, except for you. You're mostly fine. No, Dan has been 100% since the vaccine. So that's my personal opinion, what I've seen.
Greg's on the line from Daphne. Greg wants to talk, I believe, vaccine. How are you, Greg?
Hey, I'm good. How are y'all doing today?
Doing great. Happy Friday, man.
Yeah. But no, I'm in the same boat as Dalton. I turned 31 and a week later got COVID back in January.
Okay.
And 2 days of feeling bad, and then basically 8 days of completely isolating myself from my family and everyone else so that I could get back out in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, when I say feeling bad, it was like a common cold type situation for me.
Interesting.
And my main concern with the vaccine is that it's really more like a booster shot like the flu, not a vaccine like the chicken pox or the measles. And so... And we don't have enough data. That's just my concern. Until I know more information, I just don't feel comfortable exposing myself to something we don't have information on.
I mean, I have friends
in the medical field that disagree on both sides.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's legit, and that's why we're sitting here having this conversation. Thank you, Greg.
Yeah, and I think, you know, having had it, like Greg, like myself, like what's the latest number? 500 million Americans have had it.
Have recovered from it.
And at that point, you know that you're fine.
You know what it is. I'll say this. You know what medical experts would say. Don't say that, Dan.
Yeah.
You know what it was the first time you got it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, whether it's you know, you had a different strain, different reaction, whatever, I don't know.
Yeah. And I feel very certain that if I were to get the vaccine, you know, a long enough time after my antibodies have kind of worn off from the virus, I feel very certain that I would be completely safe. I might get a little sick, but there's that chance, you know? There's that chance that something might happen, or at least that bit of unknown, because there's still so much unknown. If you can get up, like so many doctors have in front of a dais and say, oh, we know 100% fact that this or that about the vaccine or this or that about the virus,
mm-hmm.
you can't. There's no way. There's so many unknowns about so much of this stuff. So that's kind of where I stand, and I know a lot of other people feel the same way. I've had it. I've been fine. I don't know if I'll be fine if I get the vaccine, although I'm saying this again. I'm not an anti-vaxxer.
Mm-hmm.
I believe the vaccine. Everything will just be fine. But there's just that bit of uncertainty because I've had COVID, and I know what's going to happen. And I think that's going to be an issue for a lot of people. On top of that, if there are so many people that don't get the vaccine, and you had Biden talking last night about how many they've ordered, they just ordered another million from Johnson & Johnson, and the government is spending so much money, and so much of that money is going towards them buying vaccines.
Are we going to be in the exact opposite arena that we are, like, to, well, where we were in the arena where everybody wanted it, nobody could find it. What do you think is going to be happening in the middle of May?
Yeah, I think we are going to be left, we as in America, is going to be left with millions of vaccines.
Unused.
That are unused and that nobody wants. And hopefully those would go eventually if they have like some term where they're going to go bad, like if they have a use-by date on them, then hopefully they'd be used somewhere. I don't care where, South right. America, Africa, take them wherever, and the people that want them, make sure they have them. But I could see an issue here. I mean, who knows? We've already spent $6 trillion on stimulus relief bills after you include the one that was signed yesterday. We're spending money like crazy here, but is that going to end up being a waste buying all these vaccines?
Did I see this or did I dream it? Because it doesn't even seem real. The continent of Africa, people sometimes get a little fast and loose and think Africa's a country. No, it's a continent, like North America, like South America. It's a continent. It's many countries. The continent of Africa, you know how many deaths, COVID deaths?
How many?
100,000.
Really?
Doesn't
100,000?
It doesn't seem to make any sense. I'll have to check that and see if my numbers are right again. One of the reasons is there's not a bunch of elderly in Africa, evidently. And so you have a much younger population.
Huh.
Well, younger.
Yeah.
Then they recover.
They're better from it.
Younger
right.
recover, right.
Yeah, and we're also seeing stories about, you know, one vaccine or another. I can't remember if it was the Pfizer or the Moderna or one of the vaccines that hasn't been approved for the USA but has elsewhere, maybe AstraZeneca, that they say they've been testing it in Africa and it doesn't work against the strain. So usually a lot of these sites will put that out as a scare headline, like, worry about this strain.
Right.
I had no idea that stat, that 100,000 had died in Africa. Now, whether that's because so many of the country's health departments there are a bit limited in Africa and are unable to give you a proper number for how many died, or maybe it's the opposite. Maybe just here in America, they're counting it a different way.
I'd never heard, well, that's a good point too, but I'd never heard that number. So I'll back up and try to find that again.
And Grant points out too, obesity, not exactly a big problem in Africa either.
Right.
And obesity is a direct result of mortality from coronavirus. This person here, I've had the pandemic sampler platter. I contracted COVID-19 in December. I had the monoclonal antibody treatment and just got my first vaccine shot. It's all good, folks.
Also, maybe the most important text we've received here today, have y'all wished Leanna a happy birthday yet?
Yes, we just did.
Have we?
Happy birthday, Leanna.
We haven't done it on the air. Leanna, happy birthday to you, young lady. She's a big part of the team here.
She is. What'd you get her for her birthday? I got her a vaccine.
What'd I get her for her birthday? Why didn't he just put a guy on the spot? I just found out it was her birthday this morning.
I just wanted to say I got her the Pfizer vaccine.
Okay.
What have you done for her?
Moderna.
Okay.
840s. What's that?
Thank you, guys.
You're welcome. She's thanking us for the Moderna vaccine. 846 FM Talk 106.5. Lots of texts to get to and your calls if you like. 343-0106. Dan Brennan, Dalton Orwig, and Mobile Mornings.
FM Talk 106.5, the Gulf Coast Weather Authority, and Dr. Bill Williams.
Morning, y'all. It's Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwig, FM Talk 106.5. And a very exhausted Sean Sullivan, so be sweet to him during his midday show day.
You telling me that I need to?
No, I'm telling listeners, callers, texters, just... We've been through it with this power issue, and he's been up at all hours trying to get it right. I heard you guys talking about it in the, you're a very frequent guest on Sean's Midday Show. Me, not so much, which is kind of weird. But you guys talking about how many different high-level brains are working on trying to keep our power up.
So yeah.
We've got the brain power there, but we're trying to keep the power. So hopefully we're going to get that thing resolved.
That was during our wide-ranging discussion yesterday of CryptoKitties.
Yes.
Yeah.
I heard that. And you do know a good bit about cryptocurrency. Oh, well, I say that. You know
compared,
a lot.
Maybe compared to
me.
To you.
But you're at least it's not a subject that that throws you for a complete loop like me. I'm trying to catch up and understand what's going on with all this stuff. Okay, anyway, all right.
It makes up 90% of my portfolio. Unfortunately, my portfolio is like $25.
and that might be a little... You're a little heavy with the crypto. you know, I don't work at Morgan Stanley, but you might be a little heavy with the crypto. So when does your work day really end today? Now, if you're a nine-to-fiver, like I'm sure a lot of our listeners are.
And Dolly Parton.
Dolly Parton. So anyway, a new survey found the average person shifts from work mode to weekend mode at what time on a Friday?
Oh, boy. I think your average person comes in at 8.
Mm-hmm.
I would go with 7:59 a.m.
2:52 in the afternoon on Friday.
Okay.
That's when the focus moves from, to you know, how do you know, really? But anyway, you're less concerned about your work mm-hmm. than you are about what's ahead. What are your weekend plans going to be? 1 in 7 people say they always try to finish work early on Fridays. So at least they're getting their work done.
Okay, yeah.
But their mind...
That's what they say.
Their mind is now thinking about the weekend. Over 60% of us think it's important to have something to look forward to on Fridays, especially this past year. I can get that. And this is interesting also. For 1 in 6 people, it truly won't feel like the weekend until what?
They get their first drink.
Yes.
All right.
Good for you, Dalton.
Yeah.
Beer lover Dalton Orwig. Ding, 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 ding. Till you get your first drink, you don't feel like you're really on the weekend.
Okay.
So there we go.
Interesting. You know, back when I worked in a job that I didn't care about, which I was always a hard worker, but
I doubt it.
I like my job now, so I work hard,
really hard,
all
yes.
the time. But when I did have a normal 9-to-5 that I didn't care about, for me it was tough to bounce back after lunch on Friday. It's like,
okay.
You know, you get out, you're kind of done with your morning tasks.
Look, you go to the Red Lobster, you get a little boozed up.
Yeah.
I mean, you're back in the Mad Men era.
You get a little sleepy, depending on how many carbs you ate at lunch. It's tough to bounce back for that second half of the workday.
Well, let me ask you this. Now, we've worked together for 6 months.
Yeah.
Have you, and a lot of folks here participate in kind of like gang lunches,
yeah.
right?
I'm not invited, but yeah.
But you see, we're going so-and-so. Does anybody need anything?
Mm-hmm.
And for a number of reasons, sometimes I have to leave around noon, but have you ever seen me eat something big and heavy at my desk?
No, you're a Ritz crackers guy, through and through.
The reason is just what you said. I mean, I wake up at 3:30, right? You get up about the same time.
Mm-hmm.
I would collapse if I have, and I've learned that through time, just collapse if I had something big at lunch.
Yeah, recently my lunch has been coffee, and it comes at about 10 a.m. and then 2 p.m.
We've got Lucy on the line from Mobile. I believe she wants to talk about COVID. Lucy, good morning.
Good morning to you all.
How are you?
I am blessed to be on here with you all this morning.
Bless you, honey. Glad to have you on
the program.
Yes, ma'am.
I want to say that I took the COVID-19 vaccine yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
I am a cancer survivor. I am 64 years old. I started my walk at 18. I have had 3 various bouts with the cancer.
Mm.
I started at 1829, and in 2018, I had another bout.
Wow.
I have been blessed through health care. My father was a printer for International Paper Company here in Mobile in the early 50s, and I contribute that with good health care of me being here and also my faith, in God and
sure.
science.
Sure.
I believe in science because I have 4 different degrees, some of which are health and wellness psychology. I'm a retired school teacher from the Mobile County here. So, I was listening to you all. There are some good avenues when we look at COVID-19. There are some great things. And I am a breast cancer patient, to be honest with you.
Wow.
And there's data out there that says that if they administer that particular shot in your arm, then your lymph nodes will swell. I took a picture of my, armpits, within the, underneath.
Mm-hmm.
And, just to do a little data, started a little data for myself. And, to just get this out for cancer individuals. I have no swelling. I have no soreness when I took it, I felt just like I was on top of the world, to be honest with you.
You know what? First of all, let me clear up. You are honestly the smartest caller on this call right now between me, you, and Dalton.
I don't allow my education to project my smartness, but I've been around when it comes to the medical field at an early age, at being 18 with cancer.
Wow.
And I'm just saying this. We don't want to put any negativity out there for some of the people that believe that they can get it and that it will be okay. And then with some, they have had, because I've analyzed some of the teachers that will call me here, and they've had, soreness, hoarseness. One lady had chills so bad that her teeth began to chatter.
Wow.
So, you have various things that happen to various people, but with me, it has all been positive.
Well, Lucy, your call has been a blessing to us this morning, and you please feel free to call us anytime. We're here waiting on you, okay?
Yes, sir. And you all be blessed. I'll be listening, and I'll be calling from time to time.
Please do.
We love it.
Thanks, Lucy.
And see
all
that.
All right, goodbye.
And that's the information.
That's it.
If you get the vaccine, let people know what happened.
Well,
help them make their decision.
Exactly. So she wasn't really pointing a finger at anybody or trying to shout down somebody one way or the other politically, but she has decided she's going to kind of monitor herself, right? She's a very educated woman, and she's going that route. She's going to see, and you know, something else I get every day now from USA or somewhere, I get this, it's a survey for me to update how am I feeling that day.
Uh-huh.
What am I feeling? Any reaction? Can I go to work that day? And on and on and on. So they're following up with that as well. And that's data, and that's the way Lucy's approaching it right there. But God bless her. She got the shot yesterday.
Yeah, that's great to hear. And I'd say that's the caller of the week there.
Yeah.
Hey, coming up on the Jeff Poor Show, April Marie Fogle, Alabama Today. Jessica Taylor with Next Gen PAC. Alabama Attorney General Steve Marshall. Dan's favorite guest, Steve Flowers, the columnist, and also State Senator Chris Elliott joining the show.
Jeff. It's 8:59. Jeff Poor's on the way next.